Good morning.
Good morning, ma'am.
It's good to have you here today as we gather for worship on this first Sunday in August. As being the first Sunday of the month, we will be celebrating the Lord's Supper together at the conclusion of the service today. But it's good to have you here as we gather for worship. And I want to invite all of you to stay for a few moments after the service for a time of refreshment and fellowship in the kitchen right beside the parlor. And you'll note on the inside back page of the bulletin the calendar for this week, and yes, we are in summer mode, but the Board of Christian Education will be meeting after the service today, beginning to planning for the fall and our Sunday school program and other activities. So the work of the church does continue. Bible study will be held this Tuesday as well, and we will be having worship next Sunday here in the parlor. Did want to begin announcing that there will be a special congregational business meeting in September on the 18th. The purpose is coming from the property trustees asking to transfer some money from the invested funds to pay for necessary work on the outside of the building, of this building. So that is just there so that you are aware of it. Also, I've been asked to announce that we have a prodigal broom and dustpan, and it's been missing for several weeks now. And it seems as if I saw it someplace, but I don't know where, and I didn't take it. It went on its own. But if you know, or if you happen to see, it's a red-handled broom. I believe it's a black dustpan. If you happen to see it around, if you could either tell us where it is or bring it back, and it goes in the closet where the tables are, we would appreciate it. So just if you're aware of where that broom might be and the dustpan, please encourage it to return to its home. So at this time, I invite you to turn in the hymnal to selection number 359 for our responsive call to worship. We'll be reading verses from the Apostle Paul to two various churches as we prepare our hearts and minds for worship. So let us read responsively from God's holy word. Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all.
And those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again.
Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation.
The old has gone, the new has come.
All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation.
And God has reconciled the world to himself in Christ,
and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation.
We are therefore Christ's ambassadors.
We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God.
For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life?
We rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Through whom we have now received reconciliation.
We come this morning to worship, and our opening hymn is "We Come, O Christ, to You," number 129. We'll be singing verses 1 through 4. And those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together.
Oh,
Let's pray together. Heavenly God, we gather as strangers and friends, searching for new ways to live and follow you. Earthly Savior, come and live among us that we may imitate you, using our hands to heal and our minds to follow your will. May our worship be filled with your Spirit, transforming us into brothers and sisters, conforming us to your glorious purpose. We ask all of this in Jesus' name, and now pray as he taught, as we say aloud, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Celebrations and concerns of one another. Peggy, if you want to continue to keep your granddaughter in prayer, we mentioned last week, his hometown.
Yeah.
Still continue to recuperate, and your niece is
down.
Yes. So your niece was out of the hospital?
She's home.
Your niece that is a victim of domestic abuse is also out of the hospital. So we want to continue to pray for them. Delphine, we noticed that your past has shrunk. No sling anymore.
Sorry.
Good. So we continue to pray for you
as
we continue to heal.
And I won't fall anymore.
Well, hopefully we won't fall anymore. And we may have been surprised to see Mr. Jim Hickey walk in this morning. You have a date yet, Jim? No. Okay. His spirit surgery. You know, we prayed and expecting Jim to have surgery on Tuesday. I got some calls this week. No. And then he called and said, "Well, it was rescheduled for Friday morning early." Well, called me on Thursday and said, guess what? So, it's up in the air. Sometimes, maybe this week.
Maybe.
But, you know, the surgeon wants the days off. We do want a rested surgeon to operate on Jim. So, we're just biding our time. So, we want to continue to pray for Jim as he prepares for surgery. And sometimes the waiting is worse than the decision
to happen. I'm getting used to it being
canceled. But hopefully the third time is the charm, and hopefully you will be able to have it. Hopefully this week. But we want to keep Jim in prayer. And also, I've learned that Caroline and Roger Landers are both very in poor health. They both are suffering from cancer. And Caroline also doesn't have some heart problems. So we want to keep them in prayer. They are still at home. And being cared for by your daughter, I guess, but we want to keep the family's family in prayer today. Talked with Joe McCary this week, and his brother David has done very well on his immunotherapy. He did have a little setback, but it's been fixed. That's been fixed, and he's doing very well. And we want to keep him in prayer. And David, has David finished
his continuing in the chemo? He's had finished two cycles. He's beginning on Tuesday. He will go through probably the end of the summer, and then they will take a look at things. And there is a medication that we may prescribe. So as far as the bone, he is having medication for that as well.
So I want to keep David Tolstrup in prayer as he's continued to undergo chemotherapy, at least for the summer, and then he'll get reassessed.
He's not having terrible side effects.
Though. Good.
He's doing good as well.
Good. In prayer. Heard from May Upperman this week, and she's doing okay. She does appreciate calls and cards and visits, and is doing well. I did see her last weekend. She's doing okay. She's at home. We obviously wanted to pray for our nation, those who are suffering from the drought, and those who are in floods, wildfires. Turn the TV on and just amazed by that. Suffering from that. Do you have any requests for prayer this morning? Celebration or concern?
My brother Bobby.
Yes. He's
scheduled for next week?
Next week, he's got a 50-50 chance of surviving.
So Jim's brother, Bobby, having surgery, I believe, next Monday. As Jim mentioned, he has a 50-50 chance of surviving the surgery. So we want to lift him up in prayer today. Anyone else have a prayer request?
Two girls, Emily and Elizabeth, are both off to Christian Youth Conference today. Emily as a counselor, and Elizabeth as a first-year student, and she's 14 today.
Today's Elizabeth's birthday. Okay, so we want to keep them in prayer, and others that are going to camp. So Emily and Elizabeth are going to camp today. So Christian Youth Conference, which is held at Oceanwood. Anyone else have a prayer request? Yes.
My sister just moved.
Yes, Gobetak was here last week. I think it said that she was moving. So we want to keep Gobetak in prayer as she is settling in to New York, New York City, and preparing to start school there. So we just want to keep her in prayer today as well. Anyone else have a prayer request? Marilyn.
I was just speaking to an American Baptist woman from Salem, First Baptist, and they're asking Chris for this in the search for a future pastor.
So there are several churches. I was doing a little surfing on the net on the web last night and looking up some other churches. And we don't have as many people as we used to. Well, I looked at some other formerly prominent churches or thought to be prominent churches, and you know, they're searching for not in this area. They're searching for an interim pastor, a full-time or permanently settled pastor, and they're saying their attendance is 40 plus. I thought, well, okay, then we're all in the same boat. And another church that I looked at, where I served, is for sale. The building is for sale. When I first came out, it closed. I said, we need to close. I couldn't find out if an irrigation still exists or not. But so we're not alone in our struggles. As the First Baptist Church of Malden, or even American Baptist churches, but we do want to lift up, you know, the American Baptist especially, in prayer, during this difficult time, sustaining congregations. And church buildings, you know, ministry and church buildings, it does become very expensive and taxing. So, any other requests for prayer? If not, then let's go to God lifting up some of these requests. Oh, I'm sorry, Steve.
Last week, reviewed one committee and renewed my job license. And it was important to me. I took my job.
Good.
Well, I appreciate your prayer.
The last time Steve was here, he had asked for prayers because his work permit had expired. And his driver's license had also expired. And so it was like to be here legally. But good news, the last couple of weeks that the work permit was renewed, and he did not lose his job, so he still has his job. And he has his driver's license, so he drove here legally this morning. So we didn't get picked up on 93 coming down. So that is a great celebration. That's wonderful. Any other requests for prayer? Then let's go to God. Let's see if some of these requests are something on your heart. Let's pray together. God, you are a God of all seasons, a God of all time. You are eternal. And we thank you for that. And Lord, we know that our time here on earth is limited in years. Yet, Lord, you span all generations. Lord, as we come to prayer today, we come in filled with awe and reverence for your holiness. As we come, we are grateful that you are not some remote God that, you know, sits on his throne and just pulls strings and calls his creation and pulls the strings as if we were puppets, but that you are actively loving us and caring for us and want a personal relationship with each of us. And we thank you for that.
Lord, as we come this day, we pray that you have received and accepted our silent and private prayers, that you will now also receive our corporate prayers. Lord, we lift up those who are ill. We pray for healing in their lives according to your will. We pray for Jim Hickey as he's awaiting surgery. Lord, we just know how anxious that can be of waiting, just waiting, getting ready, and then having to wait again. So, Lord, we just pray for calmness for Jim and Betty and family. We also pray for Jim's brother who's getting surgery next week and others who are undergoing surgeries and treatments and rehabilitations, that, Lord, that their bodies may be healed according to your will, according to their lives. Lord, we also pray for those who are in mourning this day, who are missing the death of a loved one, whether it's a recent death, Lord, or whether perhaps it's an anniversary, or it's just a time of year that just, you know, sensing the missing of a loved one in one's heart. Just pray, Lord, that emptiness might be filled with your spirit of comfort and peace. Lord, this is August, and school will be starting soon, and Lord, we pray for those who are in transition today, that you are a constant in their lives. We think especially of Govatak, that she has moved to New York to begin a new chapter in her life. Lord, we just pray for your spirit to be especially close to her during this time of adjustment and transition. Lord, we just thank you for the opportunities of moving, the opportunities of learning new things. Lord, we pray for those who are going to camp this week, that it may be a good experience for them, that it may be an opportunity of getting to know you in a new and in a different way, that they may come to love you more deeply, care for you. Lord, you called us to serve others. Lord, as we are mindful, as we turn on the news, we are mindful that many places in our country are very dry right now without much rain. In other areas, there is dramatic flooding, too much water, the ground can't handle it. Buildings are damaged, lives are lost. Lord, other places we see wildfires raging, just needing the water to quench the flames. Lord, all those situations, we lift up to you this day. We lift up those who are affected by these for various reasons. We pray for those who are first responders and second responders coming in to help with cleanup and resettlement. Lord, just pray that your spirit will be with them and have the strength and courage to do what needs to be done. Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity of worshiping together now. We ask this all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. This being the first Sunday of the month, as I mentioned earlier, we'll be celebrating the Lord's Supper later. And as part of our service on this first Sunday of the month, we receive two different offerings. The first offering that we are about to receive is our regular morning offering that goes to support the ongoing ministry and mission of this congregation. So this time, the ushers will receive your tithes and your gifts.
Walking in sunlight all of my journey, over the mountains, through the deep vale, Jesus has said, I'll never forsake thee, promise divine that never can fail. Heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul, glories divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine.
Shadows around me, shadows above me,
ever rejoicing, pressing my way to mountains above, singing his praises, gladly I'm walking, walking in sunlight, sunlight of love, heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul.
Darkness, that they may come to know you. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. I just to turn and greet those who are standing near you this morning. Verses 1 and 3 only.
Tell me the story of Jesus.
Couple of follow-up announcements. One is I neglected to welcome Doreen and Richard Freeman as our duet special music folks this morning, so I apologize for that. Thank you very much for your special music. Also, I've been informed that the prodigal dustpan and broom have returned. So I only do what I'm asked to do. It's like I was told yesterday they were missing, so it's like, okay, maybe they returned yesterday or earlier today. But it's good to know that they have returned, and so we don't need to worry about them anymore. We can be relieved, yes. This morning's scripture comes from Paul's first letter to Timothy, chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Paul writes these words. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings should be made for everyone, for kings and all who are in high positions, so that they may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and dignity. This is right and is acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God. There is also one mediator between God and humankind, Christ Jesus, himself human, who gave himself a ransom for all. This was attested at the right time. For this I was appointed a herald, an apostle. I am telling the truth. I am not lying. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. May God bless the reading of God's holy word this morning. Let's pray together. Lord, as we have read these words from the Apostle Paul, reminding us that we need to pray for our leaders, also reminding us of Christ's stance of as a mediator between God and us. And Lord, we pray this day that our hearts and minds may be open to receive a word from you, that we may be changed people for having been together and worshiping you this day. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. I am telling you the truth, writes the Apostle Paul. I am not lying. If only food companies had the same high standards. Unfortunately, many of them don't. This past Wednesday's Boston Globe included an interview with Larry Olmsted, the author of a new book entitled Real Food, Fake Food: Why You Don't Know What You're Eating and What You Can Do About It. And that was just published last month. In the book, the author shows how lax regulations, artfully deceptive wording, and outright fraud can mean that when we think we're eating some foods, what's on our plate is something quite different. Have you ever picked up a package of boneless wings that's spelled W-Y-N-G-Z? Well, they're in the grocery store. You might go and look the next time you're there. Despite the sound of the name, these little chicken fritters have no wing meat. There's no wings in wings. We might find that surprising. I hear a few chuckles. But such manipulation of the truth has a long history in this country. Before the existence of the Food and Drug Administration, a bottle of ketchup could contain dyed pumpkin and some other things too. Ground ginger might include pieces of tarred rope. Cans with a label potted chicken might be completely chicken free. So much for the good old days. In 1906, the Pure Food and Drug Act established some standards for food safety. And from that point on, poisonous, dirty, or rotten ingredients were off limits in food production. The act was also put an end to mislabeling, insisting that companies could not call something a particular food if it did not contain that food. I am telling the truth, said the Apostle Paul. I am not lying. As of 1906, cans of chicken have been required to do the same thing. But producers of cheap imitation food did not want to reveal their true ingredients. So they came up with a way to get around the rules. There's always those loopholes. They decided to hint at what the food was like without actually naming it. So when they invented an artificial pudding out of cornstarch, they called it fruit pudding. No one could sue them because they never claimed it was pudding. This clever name may have been misleading, but it was entirely legal. And in addition to fruit pudding, consumers snatched up an imitation grape juice called Grape Smack, and a nearly fruit-free sugar pectin mixture called Bread Spread, spelled B-R-E-D-S-P-R-E-D. Spell it from memory. We should not be misled by a jam jar full of bread spread. There's no jam in it. Today, most people understand that these silly spellings are a way of saying this food is fake. But oddly enough, a lot of people don't seem to care. They buy seafood spelled K-R-A-B, knowing that it is not crab. People eat snacks with a label C-H-E-E-Z, not caring that it does not contain cheese. The cereal called Fruit Loops, spelled F-R-O-O-T, remains popular with virtually no one expecting the loops to be full of fruit. When it comes to artificial food, labels often include artificial spellings. Truth does not seem to matter when consumers are in search of crabby, cheesy, or fruity flavor. The Apostle Paul has a different agenda in his first letter to the young Christian named Timothy. Writing to this man whom he called his loyal child in the faith, Paul insists that God desires everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. For Paul, the truth is not a quick fix for human hunger, a bacon-flavored bit that contains no actual bacon. Instead, for Paul, real salvation is connected to the truth about Jesus Christ. So what is Jesus made of? He's not an imposter with a spelling such as J-E-E-Z-U-S. We're going to look at three ingredients this morning. The first ingredient that makes up Jesus is he's a mediator. Paul is determined to speak the truth about Jesus, the one mediator between God and humankind. Now, we may know of mediators from personal experience or from news. Oftentimes sports figures will have mediation taking place. But a mediator is someone who stands in the middle of two parties and tries to make peace between them. In order to achieve reconciliation, he must have a relationship with the two parties, writes Brian Matson, a scholar of public theology. The ancient statement of faith, known as the Apostles' Creed, says that Jesus is God's only Son. That is his relationship to God. But the Creed also says that Jesus is our Lord, and that is Christ's relationship to us. Only Son, our Lord. Jesus has a unique relationship with both God and humankind. Standing between God and us, Jesus is able to do this work, because he is trusted by both sides to be an effective mediator and to pull us together. Jesus knows that there's a huge gap between God's perfection and our imperfection, between God's power and our weakness, between God's holiness and our sinfulness, that gap between God's graciousness and our selfishness. Only Jesus can stand between God and us. Only Jesus can bridge that gap that separates us from God. Ingredient two that makes up Jesus is his humanity. For Paul, Jesus is an authentic human being, not an artificial product like fruit pudding or bread spread. The true humanity of Jesus helps him to identify with us and really help us in our struggles. The letter to the Hebrews states that Jesus is able to sympathize with our weaknesses because he himself was tested by what he suffered. He is able to help those who are being tested. The humanity of Jesus enables him to walk with us in all of the difficulties that we face. He is beside us, just as he was beside people for most of his earthly life. The English priest, Samuel Wells, has written a book entitled Nazareth Manifesto, in which he states that Jesus spent most of his life in the town of Nazareth, simply living with people. The stories of the Gospels are focused mostly on the end of Jesus' life on earth, leaving out the years that he was simply Emmanuel, which means God with us, living among the people. Jesus is Emmanuel, and that's a term we often only use during Advent and Christmas time, but it's a concept that we need to focus on throughout the year. because Jesus is Emmanuel before he is Savior, writes that author. By overcoming our isolation, Jesus saves us. So the second ingredient to this makeup of Jesus is that he is truly human, right beside us, sympathizing with our weaknesses and helping us when we are tested. And we come to the third ingredient that makes up Jesus, and that concept, that word is ransom. The Apostle Paul understands that we are all captives of our sinfulness. We can try to change our ways. We can try to fix our mistakes, to get ourselves on the right track, but our efforts are always going to fall short. In his letter to the Romans, Paul admits his own frustrations as he writes, "I am of the flesh, sold into slavery under sin. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate." These words ring true for us, I would imagine, as well. We are slaves to sin and need to be rescued. Fortunately, writes Paul, Jesus gave himself as a ransom for all. Jesus took personal action to buy us, to purchase us out of slavery. This ransom that Jesus offered was his own life through a crucifixion that was a terrible, humiliating way to die. Fleming Rutledge, a retired Episcopal priest, says that, quote, "Crucifixion was specifically designed to be the worst of the worst. It was so bad," he writes, "that good Roman citizens did not discuss it in public." End quote. The death of Jesus was a ghastly sight. We've seen images. On the cross, says that author, we see Jesus Christ giving up not only his life, but also his position as ruler of the universe and Lord of all that exists, suffering something that is degrading, dehumanizing, and shameful. And why? Why should he sacrifice everything? Why did he do it? For our redemption, to be our ransom. Innocent Jesus died that all of us could be rescued, forgiven, and made right with God. This Jesus is the real deal. Mediator, human, ransom. He's not a fake like bread spread or fruit pudding or the cheese-flavored corn snacks that go by the name cheese doodles. Jesus is the one who offers us authentic salvation, saving us from sin, and restoring us to a proper relationship with God. So we might be asking ourselves, well, how should we respond to this? Paul urges us to pray for everyone, since God desires everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. We can talk with others about what we've discovered, following the footsteps of Paul, who saw himself as a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. And we can lead a quiet and peaceable life of all godliness and dignity. That sounds a lot different than what we often think of being evangelistic, being out in the street corner, knocking on doors, but being the quiet evangelist that Paul's talking about here. Much as Jesus, when he lived with the people of Nazareth, he lived among them, he was with them. We must never underestimate the value of simply living with people and sharing in their struggles. When priest and author Samuel Wells was dean of Duke University Chapel, he led ministries in which people from the chapel did not try to reach out and save the poor. Instead, they lived with their neighbors. They broke bread, they chatted on the porch, and at the bus stop with neighbors, and discovered the good that was already being done in the neighborhood. According to this author, the word with is the most important word in Christianity. Emmanuel means God with us. From his birth to his ascension, Jesus saw his mission as being with us. Our challenge as Christians, as followers of Jesus, is to be with God and to be with each other in the same sort of way, sharing all of life's struggles and successes. This is what the real Jesus did. As one mediator between God and humankind, Christ Jesus, himself human, who gave himself as ransom for all. Those concepts of mediator, human, and ransom. Not fruit pudding, grape smack, cheese doodles, fruit loops, or bread spread. When it comes to Jesus Christ, we must accept no imitations, for Jesus is the real deal. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that Jesus did come to live among us, to be with us, to be Emmanuel. We thank you for that, Lord. Lord, we pray that we might learn from his example and these words in the Apostle Paul that there's nothing that we can do that will right our relationship with you. We need Jesus in our lives as that mediator, that bridge over the chasm, that gap between you and us. Lord, we thank you for Jesus, and we pray that we may look to him each day, that we may draw ever closer to you. And not only drawing closer to you, Lord, but we may, as we live among our neighbors, that we may live as faithful followers of Jesus. Not necessarily preaching the word, but through our conversations, through our actions, that Christ will be shared. We ask this all in his name. Amen. Our hymn of preparation for communion is Break Thou the Bread of Life, number 693. We'll be singing verses 1, 2, and 3. Seated.
As previously mentioned, on Communion Sunday, we collect two offerings. This second offering that we are about to receive is used by the diaconate to meet special requests that we are not provided for in our regular budget. In addition to worship supplies, the diaconate is able to meet the needs of individuals and groups within our church, as well as those in our local communities and around the world. The deacons will now receive your gift for communion offering.
Hey.
Please join me in reading our church covenant.
Having been led as we believe by the Spirit of God to receive Jesus the Christ as our Savior and Lord, we do now solemnly and joyfully covenant with each other to walk together with Him in Christian love. We do therefore pray that we might watch over one another in Christian love, remembering each other in prayer and aiding each other in sickness and distress, that we will regularly assemble for the public worship of God and the observance of the ordinances of the Church, that we will maintain daily family and personal devotions in our home, provide for the religious training of our children and those under our care for the service of Christ and His people, that we will seek divine aid to enable us to affirm love, justice, and the unity of all people, and to work as faithful disciples of the Christ, that we cheerfully contribute our property, according as God has prospered us, for the maintenance of faithful and evangelical ministry among us, for the relief of the distressed, and for spreading the gospel to all nations, and that we will strive to live to the glory of God, who has given us life, and who has called us to serve Him and our sisters and brothers in the name of His Son.
Jesus is the host at the table and invites each one to the table to eat and drink with Him with these words: Do you love me? Do you believe that I went to the cross and died for you, paying the price for your sins to reconnect you with God for all eternity? And we're able to say, yes, Lord, I believe. And Jesus says, come, eat and drink with me. Let's pray together. Lord, we know that we do not have a seat guaranteed for us through our own good works in heaven. Lord, it's only through your mediation, through your grace and mercy that we are able to do that, have a place. Lord, in these moments, we confess to you in silence those sins that we are aware of that we have committed and ask for your forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our confessions. We do ask that you would forgive us of our sins, cleanse our hearts, purify us, prepare us now to eat and drink with you. Amen. Talking about Jesus being with us at all times, that last meal in the upper room, that Jesus knew that his time was very short left here on earth, but he wanted to be with his disciples and wanted to leave something with them that would remind them of all that he had done and all that he was about to do for them. So during that meal, which was a celebration of the Israelites being released from slavery in Egypt, Jesus took bread. And after giving thanks to God, he broke the bread in front of them and said, "This bread represents my body that's broken for each one of you." He said, "Whenever you eat this bread, remember me." Ministering in his name, we share with you the broken bread.
Thank you.
birth as a baby. He came as a human to live among us, to be with us. He allowed his human body to be broken for us. Let us eat in memory of him. It's the meal in that upper room continued. Jesus took the cup. Another common part of that meal. And Jesus prayed and then began passing the cup among his disciples, encouraging them to drink from it, saying, this cup represents a new covenant, a new agreement between God and humans that's sealed with my blood. As often as you drink it, remember me. Ministering in his name, we share with you the cup. Shed on the cross that we might have life. Life eternal, life abundant. Let us drink in memory of him. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you came to live among us and be among us, and also to die for us, to serve as a mediator between God, our Heavenly Father, in us, that to bridge that gap, to pay the price for our sins. Lord, we pray that this time together may be a time of renewal for us, a time of strengthening for us, that we may be prepared to go our separate ways for another week of serving this world. We ask this in your name. Amen. Scripture tells us the disciples and Jesus sang a hymn and then went out. Our closing hymn is Blessed Be the Tie That Binds, number 677, he's singing verses 1 and 4 only.
Christian love.
afflictions we experience in the world, let us remember that Jesus is real. He is God with us as mediator, human, and ransom. The name Emmanuel is often limited to the Advent season, but it is a truth that we need every day. And may the tie that binds us to him and to each other be forever strong. Amen.